Hello, and welcome to the Run With Ellie live show, the show that brings you stories from your everyday runners to professional athletes and other specialists in the running community who all share a common passion for the sport. I'm your host, Coach Ellie. I hope my podcast can help you change the way you live and the way you move, so in the long run, you're able to live a sustainable and healthy lifestyle that you deserve. The purpose of this podcast is to promote the love of running. Throughout my experience speaking with the individuals in the running community, I've found that many of us seek acceptance and relatability in some way, shape, or form. On Run With Ellie Live, I tie together the common pain points and solutions through the stories told by the special guests on the show. Each individual has a unique running journey and shares how running impacts the mind and body in the sport and outside of it, both mentally and physically. So stop being so hard on yourself. Tune in right here weekly for new motivational episodes with special guests to inspire you to change your life for the long run. Thank you once again for joining us on Run With Ellie Live. Please don't forget to support the show and our special show guests by clicking on the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you choose to listen to the show on. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Run With Ellie Live. It is Tuesday, October 17th, and we have a special guest on the show today. You know, fun fact, I was actually running, I guess, next to her in the Chicago Marathon last weekend. And yeah, she's a tough one. She pulled ahead of me, like, I don't know, somewhere in the last 5K. She's a coach and she's an amazing runner. Stephanie, welcome to the Run With Ellie Live show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you for joining. And, you know, before we dive into the listeners on here, if you are returning to the show, I hope you've subscribed already to the new listeners on here. This is a good one to join us for. And please do subscribe to the show after you listen to us today. So without further ado, Stephanie, you know, I have so many questions for you, but yeah, I'm excited for a really good chat. How are you feeling after Chicago?
Pretty good. I think I find the flatter courses are a little easier to recover from, or at least they make you think you're recovered. So I definitely know I have some ways to go until I'm fully recovered and, like, especially more mentally, but I feel pretty good physically.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. You know, I also think there's so many different things I could attribute to your recovery. And I'm sure I would love to get into that. Yeah. Like, you know, things like eating, walking, sleeping, and, you know, what your training history looked like. But speaking of recovery, you know, so I know you're a coach and you're a very, you know, competitive runner. Do you coach yourself, or do you have like a training program that you follow, like that your coach provides you? I'd love to hear more about, you know, how you know how to train.
Yeah. So I'm a coach. I'm also a physical therapist. So that helps a little bit, but I also have a coach too. So I coach through a group called Mile to Marathon in Vancouver, and well, we're across Canada, but I coach with one of our coaches, Justin Kent. So he coached me for this build, which was our first build together. I've coached myself in the past, but I find sometimes I just need someone else to tell me what to do. I like the mix up too of someone else's style. So it was fun to work with Justin this build and have him just like work on a different style.
Yeah, I definitely get that. I'm the same way. I used to self-coach myself and then I got my coach and I just, for reasons that you said, I needed what I was missing and to understand what I needed more that I couldn't see. I don't know if like you're kind of big on that.
Yes, I totally think it's some easier from an outside perspective to like see what's missing sometimes. So I feel like for me, this build, my issue has always been I'm not very good at the start at being patient. And so Justin gave me like a lot of workouts this build that really tested starting being patient and like practicing that the whole way through, which I think helped a lot.
Ooh, you know, this is such a good topic. Same, same.
Oh, okay.
Like notoriously known for going out too fast. Yeah. And in a marathon that could just burn you later on, as I'm sure you know. If you wouldn't mind sharing, like, what are some, you don't have to like share specifically what you did training. But like, what are some like big takeaways that helped you during your training? And maybe that like you said to yourself at the start of the race that helped you just to stay calm and cool and collected and grounded.
So I think for me, a big thing was nutrition. So the last year, I really worked on my more like my run fueling and pre and not so much post, but mostly pre and during. And so I feel like practicing that a lot during this build and the last one really, really helped because I felt like I just knew what to do. There was no questions. I worked with a nutritionist. She made me a plan. It was just like all I had to do was follow it. So that made me feel really calm that I just knew exactly what I was going to do. I just had to do it. And then the other thing is I think having those workouts that I practice the patience on and then seeing starting a little bit more calm, how much it paid off and how much better I felt. I think in the past, I've never really like gone out crazy hard and crashed and burned, except for, I would say actually twice I had pre being a coach, pre doing more workouts. I did that before. And so I had this huge fear of how bad it could feel when you do that. And then in my last couple of marathons, I haven't done that, but I have gone out slightly faster than I had intended and then panicked that I was going to crash and burn. And I didn't, but I think that mental energy of worrying for the first half of the race that I just ruined it really got to me. And I think this time around, I was like, if you go out too fast and you don't have GPS, you have the power to control it. And I just kept repeating to myself for the days and weeks leading up, like, you have everything inside of you to make this happen. You just have to do it. And you're not going to ruin anything. Just stay in control. And you have that power. So do it.
It's so, you know, it's so true. I love that. It sounds like you were really smart in your training and you practiced this in your training and you didn't just show up to the line on race day expecting like for everything to be perfect and to really nail your race. And to, I love what you said about controlling yourself. My coach always says to me, when you could control yourself, you could control your race. And
it's
so true. And it's the hardest thing to do, right?
Yes. I think before Berlin, Kipchoge did this campaign with Nike and it was like, patience gets you there faster. And so my coach and I like named our chat that, and I kept saying patience gets you there faster. Patience gets you there faster. So yeah, that sometimes you just need to learn the hard lessons.
I'm sure you've dealt with this like yourself, it sounds like, and I'm sure you've coached a few athletes where I'm only smiling because like, I know you get it. Like where you're like, trust your training, you know, no need to race in training.
Yeah.
Be patient. And it's such a hard thing for us marathoners to do. Right.
Especially what are some, like, if you like, oh, sorry. I was just going to say, especially if someone doesn't understand like why you're saying that and why they sometimes think you don't believe in them. And you're like, no, I believe in you, but you're going to feel so much better if you run this way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That communication and delivery is important. I've worked on that so many times. And like you, I like to come across as like, I believe in you, but I think doing this would help us run a lot faster.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just feel better.
Yeah. Wait, so I have to ask you, what are some things you said to yourself in that last like 5K?
So in our like coach chat before the race, a big thing with Justin was like, imagine that you have a leash on you for the first like 30, 32K, and then the last 10K, like see how fast you can run and like take the leash off and go for it. And the last 10K, I had planned that like every mile I was like, every mile I'll like give this mile to somebody in my head and like somebody in my life, which I kept just thinking of my family the whole time. Like I was like, oh, this is for my family. Okay, this one too. But the 1 mile I was, the last mile I was like, this is for you. And the second last mile I was like, this is for your coach because he believed in you. And then every time I crossed the timing mat, I just kept thinking of all the people tracking me, like all my athletes and my family and my coach, just like watching me cross the timing mat. And I think everybody knows the last 10K is where you know if someone's going to do it or not. And so the last 10K, I was like, I felt really good. And I was just like, I know that every time I cross this mat, they're going to know that I'm doing it. And like, yeah. That so that was a big like, and there were so many timing mats in the last little bit.
Yeah. And I loved it. I was like stomping on them.
Yeah. I was like, this is like my way of sending a message.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So funny that you say that. You know, I run for reasons larger than myself, like you. And every time I cross that mat, I'm like, I hope I'm inspiring the people I coach and just people kind of out here, like, watching the marathon, maybe thinking I want to do this one day, you know, and that are maybe just like tracking random athletes because they saw them on Instagram or something. Totally. You know,
I also did try and catch, like, I was like, I want to try and pass a woman every mile as like a competitive thing to do.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
Sometimes when you're, I don't know, I find it's like, then you get to race because I find, I don't know, not that many races I actually get to like race people. And yeah, it was kind of fun just to be like, okay, I see her in the distance. I'll try and catch her.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Like almost that like landmarks, fun. But like moving landmarks. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's yeah. Awesome. So that was fun.
Yeah. Was it just me or did you like feel the heat like in that last like mile, I want to say this year. I mean, I ran it last year. It wasn't nearly as energetic as I feel like it was this year.
Like the heat, like the fire of the people or like not the temperature, right?
No, not the temperature.
No. Yeah.
It was perfect.
Because I was like, oh, that was hot. I think I was just so excited. And I've never done it before. Like I've never done Chicago. So that was my first time. The whole thing, it was like so electric. I love crowds and races. That's my favorite thing. So it was awesome.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, so I know you enjoyed the Chicago Marathon a lot. I guess what was your biggest takeaway that, you know, you think the listeners on here could benefit from? Because I know you broke 3 hours. You actually smashed 3 hours.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, obviously you had a very, very smart build and you had a support team, it sounds like. So I would love to just hear, you know, your biggest takeaway for listeners on here that might be interested in running next year, especially because the lottery just opened today.
I would say I think, you know, my friends always say that, you know, when someone's going to do it. And I think that it's because they believe in themselves so wholeheartedly. And so I would say going into anything, whether it's like a 5K or Chicago next year, it's like you have to believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, as soon as something comes up or something unexpected happens, like you don't yeah, your belief can grow stronger on the course, but if you don't stand on the line believing truly that you can do it, then I don't think that it can happen. And then I think the other, for me, it was nutrition. I know lots of people don't have as many issues in it, but some people do. And for me, like really fueling properly and practicing it during training was like a huge part of getting to the line and feeling good.
You know, I love that you said that. And I think that nutrition, especially for us, and I love hearing you say this, I've worked on my nutrition like a lot as well. And I think that for women, it's this unspoken thing, but it's really not that, like, you know, leaner is better sometimes, or will I run as fast if I'm, you know, like feeling like a whale, like, you know what I mean? Or yes. Do I really need this much carbohydrate?
Yes.
you know what I mean? But like, and you know, I'm sure like you exemplify it, like carbs, I mean, they allow you to push the pace, even though you're using oxygen and glycogen as fuel during the race, but like you need to keep tapping out those glycogen stores. And so just, yeah, carbohydrate is so important. And I love that you said it, and it does make such a difference. It's
huge.
That
and like hydrating properly on and continuously, I think I didn't realize before that I could feel that good. And not just in a race, in all the training as well. And I have some friends that are like, oh, but I don't run out of energy. And I'm like, it's not about energy. It's about like just feeling like you're like a well-oiled machine. It's like that's the fuel to make it feel that way. For me, I struggled with lots of like nausea and all that sort of stuff. But I just didn't realize that I could feel that good and then feel that good after a run too, because I fueled well during.
That's such an excellent point, because your recovery was probably affected by as many carbohydrates and electrolytes as you had throughout the race. You know, the coach that I work with, I was on a call with her. It was like about a month before the race, and I was not really big on electrolytes. As in addition to carbs. And so this time around, I started practicing with electrolyte tablets, and I haven't gotten like an official sweat test, but that close to the race, I was like, I'm going to experiment and see how I feel during my long runs. And I'd love to hear your take on this. And it affected me. It was like night and day, like no brain fog. I felt like, yeah, a well-oiled machine. That in addition to the carbohydrate, I was like, what is this feeling? This is, you know, this is, you could feel like this.
Yeah, that's so, how I felt too.
Do you take electrolytes like when you're also racing?
Yeah, I never used to, but the nutritionist that I work with, she was like, you should be taking 500 mils of electrolytes an hour during your runs. And I wasn't taking like anything. Like I was taking like a bit of water here and there, and I was like I think my jaw hit the floor. I was like, how am I gonna do that? And then I just like practiced and worked my way up, and slowly, and like at the beginning of working with her, I was like, I'm not gonna do that. Like I'm not gonna carry a bottle, I'm not doing it. And then by the end of the race, or like race day, I was carrying like 750 mils in my pocket. I was just like, I can't not have this. I need it now. So I'm a believer after trying it.
Yeah, it no, same. Really well. Where do you keep, so you just said your pocket. So do you keep your gels in your pocket and your electrolytes?
So I always buy the like shorts that have the pockets. I am a spandex short expert at this point. So I like the pockets with the shorts with the pockets on the side, and then I'll put soft flask bottles in the side. So I use the like soft flask ones, like the Salomon ones or like ones off of Amazon. And then, I'll put like 500 mil on one side, 250 on the other, because more than that, they fall down, but gels stuffed like all it, as many as I can fit in there.
Huh. Interesting. So nothing in your sports bra.
No, I haven't found a sports bra that I like with the pocket. I know people like the Tracksmith one, but it doesn't fit me very well. So
I've like tried the 3/4 Nike one if you're interested. Like if you want
to. That one has my friend likes that one too.
Obsessed. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, I think I need to try that because then I'm like, then I can fit more in my pockets and not have them fall down.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. But you know, it's always good to like experiment and try what you like, you know?
For sure.
Yeah, but Tracksmith's good too. Their shorts are also, I love their shorts.
I have, it's because you live in Boston, right?
I live in New York.
Oh, right. Okay. So we don't have a lot of options for getting Tracksmith here, and it's like really expensive to ship it to Canada sometimes. So I haven't really experimented with their stuff that much just because it's like a higher price point. Mm-hmm. And then I don't get to try it on. And if I get it and I don't like it, I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Just spent so much money on that. I try the stuff that I can like get more locally, which is most stuff. It's just Tracksmith is one of the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, next time you're like at a race expo, I'm not trying to sell you on Tracksmith. I just like love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it. The pockets are key in anything.
Yeah, they are. No, I love it. This is all great stuff. So, you know, just getting more to like the training talk, because that's where the magic happens, right? What is like the most challenging marathon training workout for you and why?
I think either 2x10K or like 2x6 miles or 3x8K or 3x10K, those kind of like bigger chunks. I think for me, especially as I coach too, I know that that is a really strong predictor of your marathon pace. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like those workouts, when they come in training, I'm like, it feels like race day to me when I do those workouts. I'm like, this is a strong predictor. Obviously it's one day, like, not going to put all your eggs in one basket, but like it's a good test. So those ones definitely make me nervous because it feels like race day when I do them, but they're a good boost if you do them well.
Yeah. And also, you know, it's just one workout, but I'm sure when you look at that like week after week after week and you like see the continual progress and the consistency, it probably gives you a little more confidence.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Do you like the broken like cruise intervals instead of just like straight like tempos?
I don't know. I feel like I do more now because I trust the process, but I feel like when I was first marathon training with those kind of workouts in, I think it made me feel nervous. Like, how am I going to piece this all together on race day? And I probably would have rather more continuous then. But now that I'm like, the recipe works, you don't have to do like 30K at marathon pace to know that you can do it. You can do it.
So, yeah. You know, I find it so interesting, like the different ways people train. I'm very big on continuous like tempos at, you know, your anaerobic threshold, and then the longer ones that slower than that, closer to marathon pace. But I know so many people that are big fans of, you know, kind of the broken up tempos at different speeds, 10K, 5K.
Yeah.
Yeah. To just get more volume in too.
I personally don't like to dip too much into 5K pace during marathon training, just because I feel like I just don't need it. And it like trashes my body more. And so I usually will like stick more in the 10K half marathon pace workouts typically, even on the track. Like, I didn't do that much stuff that was into 5K pace this build.
Yeah. And it's smarter because you don't want to go anaerobic training for a marathon, right?
Yeah. It's like, you need to know you can hold the long stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Cool. Well, what's your favorite time of day to train?
Morning for sure. I usually work evenings. So, and I have a 4-year-old and he goes to daycare. So usually where I drop him off at daycare has probably the best track in the city. So I'll usually do like a workout there during the week after I drop him off. And then I work in the evenings, or I'll do like, we'll do Saturday mornings. We have a big group in Vancouver. So that's probably my favorite, is just like doing it with friends on a Saturday morning.
Amazing.
It's definitely morning. Always morning.
Yeah. You know, do you think there's like a mental component there? It sounds like you're a mental runner too, like from just what you said earlier in this episode, letting yourself mentally decompress a little after the marathon. You know, there's something about just getting up first thing in the day and not having stuff on your mind. So I'd love to hear a little bit about like how mentally you think that might help you.
I think mentally probably it helps me, because especially more from like a nutrition side of things too, is like, it's just very controlled. I know what I'm going to do. I do the same thing every time. Whereas if I do it later in the day, there's just way more variables. For me, the only variable is if my son is being a jerk. And if he's being a jerk, then it makes the workout trickier to get mentally into it and like psych myself up to do it, because he drained my energy. But for the most part, it's like, I find I can just get in that headspace, like do it, and then move on for the rest of the day and like do other stuff.
I love that. Yeah. Are you a big like mantra lady? Like, do you have like a list of mantras besides, obviously, I love the family. I love the reminding yourself of your family. But
I think I used to be like, I think for a long time, I really struggled with like the mental game, and that was something I really had to work on many years ago. And I read, have you read Dina Castor's book? What's the title of it? I can't remember what it's called, but it's the Dina Castor book. It's like her mental guide to her training. And it's like, I read that book like 3 times. I loved it so much. It really helped my mental game. And it was way more about not so much mantras, but like how to refocus yourself in a race or in a hard workout, of like going external or internal. And that really helped. I feel like more now I naturally like sway to the positive. And so for me, it's more the mental side of it, is like getting hungry about it and like not quitting and reminding yourself that you're like fighting till the finish, because I tend to sway towards the like, you can be proud of yourself today, you're doing your best, like this is okay, and settling. So I think my mental game is more about like, don't quit, fire yourself up, let's go.
I love that, and I haven't read that book yet. I know I need to. I'm gonna write that down. I like Endure, Run for Your Life, and Mindful Running are like my 3 top mental books, but I'm always open to more. Also Des Linden's book, Choosing to Run, is amazing if you haven't read it. And she also
beasted
through Chicago. My God.
Yes. Haven't read hers yet, because I think I tend to like, I'll read a bunch of running books at once, and then I need a detox like to read other stuff. I read, Kara Goucher's book.
Yes, I read that one too.
And then I read Laura Fleshman.
Oh, I haven't read that one, but I should.
It was really good.
A book list here for the audience.
I know. So I read those 2 back to back, and then Des's book came out right after, and I was like, okay, I need a little
take a break,
take a break, and then come back.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, that's awesome. And we have some exciting books to share for the listeners in the show. But yeah, Stephanie, you know, 2 more questions for you. I don't want to take up too much of your time here. What do you love the most about just the running community as a whole, outside of what you said?
I would say I'm really involved in the run community in Vancouver. Like my physio practices, I treat a lot of runners from all the different groups in the city. And my own group mile to marathon, it's like they've become really close friends, so many of them. I feel like it, everyone's just really supportive. And if you have a great day, like the amount of people that had great days themselves, but I felt like were more excited for me for having a great day was like overwhelming in a way. Cause I was like, no, you had a great day. Like, let's celebrate you too. But so it was just like, everyone was really invested in each other achieving their goal and like inspiring each other. So yeah, I love that. I love on a course, like strangers being out there for like 6 hours to cheer you on. And then maybe being so inspired that they run themselves after. I think it's when there's so much crap going on in the world, it's a really nice place to be like, people are still really great.
I cried when I crossed the finish line because I was happy that it was over, but I was like, I felt like I was on a roller coaster almost. And that was a ride. Yeah. And people on the sides like made it what it was.
So for sure.
I'm with you. Yeah. It was like, and
even
also
at the
people.
Finish line. Yeah. Like I was just like overwhelmed and like, sob crying. And like the amount of people that were just like, good job. Like you did it. Good job. That I didn't even know. And like gave me hugs. I was just like, this is, let's have stranger sweaty hugs. Like I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it all. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, no, it was, that's the marathon, right? It's so special. So if you're listening on here and thinking about it, that's another reason to do one. It's the community and just the support from strangers and from your corner, you know, and just the people you meet along the way and running.
For sure.
I just
think
awesome.
It's such like a powerful thing, whatever distance you're running, to like realize that you're so much more capable than you ever thought you were, and like to self-fuel it. I think it gives you an appreciation for like yourself and your body, and like, it's just great.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, we could do hard things.
Yes.
Yes. So final question for you. Besides me asking you and reaching out, why did you say yes to the Run with Ally Live podcast, like being a guest on here today?
Because I could talk about running forever.
I love it. I love it. Great answer. Yes.
Yeah. And I thought it was really cool that you said that we were so close to each other and that you reached out and said that. And I was just like, my God, and now I know that it was your friend that was tracking us both. But yeah, I just thought that was really cool that you like made the time to find who I was and like ask me to be on the show.
Yeah, you know, it was funny because, so I'm going to shout out Jennifer Chambers on here. She's like my biggest mentor and I love her. And she was like, you need to contact this girl. And so I reached out to you. I'm like, I hope she doesn't think I'm a creep.
No, not at all.
And I was like, I was like, I want to run with you. And then I was like, damn it, she's in Vancouver. I was like, but we'll figure this out one day.
One day. I actually was going to put my name in for New York for next year. But then I have a bunch of friends that we all did Chicago together and we all want to do New York together. And they can't do it next year. And like my son's going to kindergarten next year. I think my life schedule might change. So I'm like, next 2025, I want to run New York.
Good. And I'm going to be going to San Diego for a little bit soon. So it's okay. You're good. You're good.
Are you moving there?
Yeah. For 6 months. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We were just there. That's a sidebar. We just went there. It's awesome.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, to be continued, we'll definitely talk about it. But this was such a great conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time. And, you know, to the listeners on here, I hope you enjoyed this chat. If you do want to reach out to Stephanie, I'm going to share her information in the show notes. So just please be cognizant of her time, but also, reach out to her. And Stephanie, thank you so much for being on Run with Ally Live today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to become a member on my website to get updates on my weekly new special episodes on the show, sharing fun running feats, training methodologies, and all things running related to help you keep your running fun. Reference the link in the show notes to become a member of the Run with Allie community so you could connect with other like-minded individuals who love running just as much as you do. Again, do not forget to subscribe to the show by clicking the Follow Plus button, Apple Podcasts, or subscribing on whichever platform you're listening to the show on. Please leave a review under the episode in whichever directory you're listening to the show in so I can better provide you with the top-notch content I strive to deliver you week in and week out. Thank you again for listening to Run with Allie Live. If you are looking for the perfect solution to finish your first marathon injury-free, even if you've tried to get in shape in the past and failed, sign up and get access to your free 24-week program now by clicking in the link in the show notes under this episode. Sign up now. All you need to submit is your email, and I'll see you on the inside. Thank you so much for listening to Run with Allie Live. See you next time.